Let's turn now in our New King James Bibles, Psalm 98. This, of course, is our meditation for today, Psalm 98. We'll read responsibly. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained him the victory. He has remembered his mercy and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Sing to the Lord with the harp and the sound of a psalm. Let the sea roar and all its fullness, the world and those who dwell in it. For he is coming to judge the earth. With righteousness he shall judge the world and the peoples with equity. Now, as we continue on in this group of psalms that are celebrating the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ, this psalm is one that is very obviously right in line with them. We've been talking about this at least since Psalm 96, and we've seen a tie back to Psalm 93 as well. All these celebrating the sovereignty of God, particularly the sovereignty of His mediatorial King, the Lord Jesus Christ, over all things. We see here, first of all, an exhortation to sing a new song. Now, perhaps you have heard along with me someone grabbing at this verse and a few others like it, such as we see, I believe, back in Psalm 96, exhortation to sing a new song. Yes, here is a scripture warrant for the singing of man-made hymns. This is not it at all. We can think, perhaps, that the new song referred to here is this very psalm. Another legitimate way that has been shown by diligent Bible scholars is meaning to be singing something with a new heart. And certainly that is what we have been enabled to do by the grace of God and our Lord Jesus Christ. For He has given us new hearts. We no longer have the old ones. We no longer have the cold, stony, dead ones, such as Ezekiel speaks of in chapter 37 of his prophecy. No, by God's grace, we have been made alive. We're no longer dead in trespass and sin, as Paul says in Ephesians 2:1. We are newly alive. We are new creatures in Christ, again as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. New creations in Jesus Christ. All things are made new, including what comes not only from our mouth, but now from our heart. Before we were saved, we could mimic, we could talk through these words. We could, in a manner of speaking, lip sync. They weren't from the heart, they were just said from the mouth. Kind of like the music, the string music at the inauguration this week. We find out, oh, it was all synced. It was fake. Well, in any case, it's no longer this way, for we have new hearts, and therefore old words become new, because they are from new hearts. It is His right hand and His holy arm that have gained Him the victory, and the Lord has made known His salvation. His righteousness He has revealed in the sight of the nations, as we finish up with the second verse there. This, of course, is looking to Jesus as well. After all, we read there, He has shown His salvation. What does Jesus' name mean? You will recall, Gabriel said, you shall call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sin. And it is this salvation, this righteousness in Yahweh or Jehovah Tzidkenu, the Lord our righteousness, that is set forth here. Jesus Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. God has been both merciful and faithful, and He's done this to all His people. This should be reminding us of Paul's words in Romans chapter 3, verse 25, perhaps 26. It's slipping from my mind right now. But in any case, where he is said to be both just and the justifier of those who believe in Jesus Christ. That is how God can be merciful and faithful. We often think of those things as being the opposite of one another, you know, where one must drive out another, sort of like bad money must drive out good. But it's not that way at all. They meet together in Jesus Christ. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. That's certainly the case. It is not because God merely has done something for ethnic Israel, Israel after the flesh, but because He has done it for all the Israel of God, those who are sharing the faith of Israel, those who are sharing the faith of his grandfather Abraham. They are the true children of Abraham, as the Apostle Paul says. Well, with this grand salvation brought about by Jesus Christ, there is a call to shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. And this is referring now, really, not to the dirt. This is not referring to the planet. This is referring to the all peoples that we've just been looking at there. There is a call for them to break forth in song, to rejoice and sing praises. Now we get into a couple of other problem verses for us, or at least some people think they are. Well, look, if we are to be singing the Psalms, someone would say, here is this commandment to use musical instruments. How is it that you folks insist that you sing vocally only? The answer is not too difficult at all. There are other places in the Psalms where old covenant forms are used, but we are to be taking them in their new covenant sense. Say, that's part of singing the new song, isn't it? With new perspectives. No longer, of course, are we like this psalmist in the day of type, shadow, and form. We live now in the day of fulfilled promise and accomplished redemption. And so we no longer need, nor must we use the old types, acting as though the reality hasn't come. Acting as though the types and shadows and forms are perfectly fine of themselves. Acting as though we are waiting for another. Well, if these instruments be types, shadows, and forms, what is the reality to which they point? Well, we could get into a long discussion on this. And it's been a while since I've preached on instrumental music, or the lack thereof, in worship. But I'll give the quickie answer. They are tied in tightly with the temple service and the Old Testament priesthood. And they point forward to our joy in the New Testament with being indwelt by and filled with the Holy Spirit. That which the Old Testament saints did not have. They were acted upon by the Spirit, believers back then. They were spoken to by the Spirit through the written word and through the words of the prophets. They were justified and made alive, regenerated as they looked to, well, bringing them to look to Jesus. All that by the work of the Spirit, but He did not indwell them. They did not have the joy in the Holy Ghost as we do today. And so they had to resort to these types, shadows, and forms. We have the reality. We have been given in Jesus Christ, as Peter said on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2:38, remission of sin and the gift of the Holy Spirit. So there's really no problem with this at all. As we sing this as a new song, with New Testament understanding, here in a time of accomplished redemption, we're able to sing this in a new way, singing it in the Spirit, singing this indwelt by the Spirit. Well, as I said, this is something for all the earth, all the peoples of the earth. For redemption comes to every tribe and tongue, every nation and people. But there's more. Paul teaches us in Romans chapter 8 that all creation is fallen and is groaning because of the fall of man. And we saw the effects of this back in Genesis chapter 3, didn't we? Well, with the redemption of man by the standing and faithfulness of the second Adam that Paul speaks of in Romans chapter 5, why, all the earth is redeemed as well. And it is no wonder that the seas roar and all its fullness, the world and all those who dwell in it, and not meaning just people now, but all things. The rivers clap their hands. And maybe you children think that's a funny kind of thing. You didn't even know that rivers had hands, did you? Well, they don't really. But this is kind of a figure of speech, children. And the rivers are to be glad. They are to give praise to God. And not only that, the hills are to be joyful together before the Lord. And why? Because their full redemption, the redemption of all things, the setting of all the universe back in place is coming. And second by second, as the clock ticks about, it gets closer and closer. Where Jesus is coming again, literally, physically, visibly, in order to consummate all his redemption, to resurrect you, his people, from the dead, to transform those who are alive at the time of his appearing, as we're all brought together into the fullness, the completion of our salvation. That's something to be joyful about. And as the new redeemed mankind, all those in Jesus Christ are brought to the fullness of their salvation, all the earth, all the creation is set back in order, set back to giving perfect praise to God. This is a joyful song because this is a joyful prospect. We don't often sing the whole thing through, but we're going to today. We're going to use the second tune that we don't all that commonly. We're going to sing from Psalm 96b. It's the same words. It's 96. Psalm 98b. It is the same text, just a different tune. So let us sing together Psalm 98b and let us rejoice in the redemption we have and the fullness of redemption that we yet will attain to. Psalm 98b.